Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed every second of playing with him and being his teammate. I think he's one of the smarter baseball players I've played with. He's really good. Just the little things and his approach and game plan. And, obviously, was shocked, but it's well above my pay grade and what I'm supposed to do.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe, taking your phone calls 617-779-7937. That was Alex Bregman, who discussed a couple of things with Tom Caron on Nesson over the weekend. Number one, his timeline, which I am annoyed it's taking him so long to come back. I wouldn't say I'm questioning him or his toughness or anything like that. Just you thought when he first got hurt he'd be back by now. And the fact that it's not until after the All-Star break, and I'm still skeptical if he's going to be back right after the All-Star break, or if it's going to be like another week or two or a month after that. Like, I don't think they've firmed that up. He also discussed the Rafi Devers trade for the first time. And he said, way above my pay grade, smartest guy I ever played with, really enjoyed playing with him.
That's mean to the other guys he's played with.
Oh, you think that's a shot at all of his current teammates?
Yeah, that's what he's, and all teammates he played with in Houston.
Good point.
It's quite rude of him.
Good point.
Bregman coming out, shots fired.
Good point.
Bregman, to the rest of the MLB.
Actually a terrible teammate. Yeah, good point. Ugh.
Never mind. Don't try to extend him to a new deal.
Where did you come down on the Devers trade? Were you done with him? We were on the day he actually mouthed off in spring training.
Sick brag, bro.
When was this? It was like February. He was at spring training. He's like, no, I'm not moving off of third base. I'm not going to DH. Not doing any of this. So were you done with Devers? Did you hate the return? Are you upset with ownership? Did you still want Rafi here? Where did you come down on the trade?
So, like most people, I hated the return. I thought the return was pretty putrid. But the one thing that I really didn't like from that weird Zoom that they did like 30 hours later from the trade was when they talked about having to move him out for the betterment of the younger players. Like when they talked about being intentional with the clubhouse and what kind of environment they wanted for the younger players. I just thought that that was a bad look for them because they had spent 90% of that Zoom call talking about how they had to look at themselves, hold a mirror up, figure out how they got to the point that they did with that homegrown all-star. And it's like, okay, that's refreshing. That's even if it's just, I don't know, it's trying to be nice after you shipped a guy out of here and trying to save face. Like that looks good. And then at the end, it's like, basically, we can't have our younger guys poisoned by this guy who won't do what we want. And I see both sides of it. Like when all this stuff came out about the lying in the offseason, telling him that Alex Bregman was just smoking mirrors from the media and that they weren't actually going to bring him in to replace him. Like that's a bridge too far. And I don't like how Rafi comported himself. And I thought he was pretty ridiculous with some of the stuff he said through the interpreter. But at the same time, it's just, it shouldn't have gotten to that point. And then them basically saying that he's poisoning the well when I don't think he was that kind of guy. I think he just didn't want to do what they wanted him to do. I don't think he was like trying to start a revolution in the clubhouse.
No, but I do think when your best player is out for himself, or you're at least your most highly paid player, highly compensated player, guy who's been here the longest, when he's out for himself, I do think that trickles down. Whether he was openly, you know, trying to create a revolt, I don't believe that either. I'm with you. I found the scapegoating Devers for, you know, poisoning the clubhouse for the young players. I didn't get on board with that. I just think he was bad for the whole team. I don't think it was just the young players. I think it was bad for the whole team. when...
Oh, so you wanted them to go farther with it.
Well, yeah, I just don't think it was just about the young kids. I don't think it's just about Anthony and Meyer and Campbell when he was on the team. I think it was about the whole situation. It was off this year. This team is way more talented, or at least should have been with Devers. Way more talented, way better than they had shown. They should be a playoff team this year. Even without Devers, they should still be a playoff team, assuming Bregman comes back. I think they're way better than they were a year ago. They're three games under 500 right now. A year ago, on July 1st, Bradfo wrote this today. If they lose tonight, they'd be four games under 500. A year ago on July 1st, they were four games over 500.
And they won the World Series. So that was, you know, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, huh?
They've got time to turn it around.
I didn't know if this was a shot at me predicting them to be in the World Series. I didn't know what that was.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, I do that most years. And so they're way more talented than they were a year ago. They're a way better roster than they were a year ago. I think, I mean, maybe you disagree, and they're going to be eight games worse, depending on how tonight goes on July 1st, midway through the year. Something doesn't add up. And I think your highest paid, arguably best player not being on board had a lot to do with that, personally. And the Red Sox have been terrible since they traded him. They started off with one good series in Seattle. They've been terrible. They can't score. They really weren't scoring with him in June. He's gone to the Giants. He's not hitting. They're not winning. And they're still not scoring runs. So I don't think he's been a big difference maker there. And I don't think he was a big difference maker here. And I just think it was time to move on. The return wasn't enough. Scapegoating him for ruining the young kids or getting them off to slow starts, I agree, was too much.
Made him sound like he's like some creepy fifth-year senior who's got fireworks in the back of his car in the parking lot, like luring the freshman kids over.
I just think he was just like on his own planet and done with the organization.
I just think he was selfish.
Yeah.
He was selfish. Yeah. He's been through a couple GMs. Cora's been around him. He's like, I'm not going to do that. You guys are asking me to do something different every 3 weeks. I've got my money here. Like, I don't want to play ball with this anymore. And that's who he'd become. But I don't think that he was turning around and, like, telling younger guys, these guys don't know what they're doing. You know, like, really poisoning the well.
And in fairness, I was worried about that Christian Campbell story.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Like,
you
there's guys who poison the well in locker rooms who turn and they're like, man, this franchise is crazy.
Yeah.
They're out of sorts. Like, you go other places. It's not like this. I don't think he was doing any of that. I think he was probably just, you know, sitting around eating in the locker room and being like, I'm not playing defense anymore.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. And so, no, I was really worried about the Christian Campbell story, which June Lee reported on.
Yeah, we just got a text about it. Yeah. That he got mad at Campbell for trying to play first base in his
now,
place.
Now, who knows what really happened, but Passan refuted that from multiple sources, and Campbell himself refuted that. Cora kind of sort of refuted it. Cora was like, well, he didn't volunteer. We made him go to
first. The issue with that is it's a Keefe report. So this is like, now this is how I'm branding these reports.
This
it doesn't mean
report?
It's not true.
Oh, I see.
It means that you
reported...
I don't
know if Keefe's going to like that terminology.
No. Yeah. It means, let me explain.
Yeah.
It means you reported something that the player doesn't like and is almost impossible to prove. So the player comes, so other guys around the player come out and say, that's not true.
Yeah.
And then everyone says, why'd you make that up?
Yeah. So
why'd you say that? That's not true. There's just no way, like... It's just a tough spot.
That's fine.
You got to be very brave to go out and put that out there.
I see. Keith is hashtag brave. I get it. He's
a hero.
Yeah, he's brave and strong and a hero. I see it. I think he will like that terminology. So, no, I was very worried about the Campbell report. I guess I wouldn't totally rule it out either.
I don't totally rule it
out. It's at least mixed reporting on it. So I wouldn't go with it as fact. But yeah, I don't think Devers was good for the team. I don't. Bob is in Warwick. Hello, Bob.
Hello there. What's your name, Jones?
Yes. And Mego.
Hi.
Okay. Mego. I've heard Mego for many years.
Okay.
What I want to talk about is John Henry.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
John Henry.
John Henry, yep.
John Henry is the problem. And Cora's secondary of the problem. Both of them. Not Breslow. John Henry's too cheap to get rid of Cora because he's still got to pay him. So he'll keep on for another couple of years because he doesn't want to pay two, Cora plus a new manager.
Okay. He's never fired a manager in season.
The guy is drunk.
Yeah, he's not drunk. I will say that. And so he's never fired a manager in season. So I don't know that Cora would be the first guy, but I do think he's getting into dangerous territory. Like figure it out by the All-Star break. If not, I could see him being the first guy to get fired, independent of the money. And I guarantee you, John Henry doesn't want to pay two managers. He's right about that. But he's not going to have to do that until the offseason. Right? You're just going to have an interim manager in the meantime, whether it's Vasquez or whomever. So, yeah, I could see him being the first the way things are going, especially because he invested in the team this year and they're getting nothing out of the manager.
Yeah, absolutely. This was supposed to be the year that they actually pushed on stuff instead of just saying that they were going full throttle and then not spending any money. I'm curious about your turn towards confidence in Breslow, because as we go on in this show, I'm starting to think, is it the alignment, to use the Red Sox term, with Theo that keeps you confident in Breslow?
Well, no, it's pretty simple. I don't like the Walker Buehler move. I mean, that one's
right.
Horrendous.
No, that's nobody likes that.
But I don't know, most of the moves that he made this offseason have been good. They're all the team's best players. Bregman, Crochet, Chapman, who you think they can at least get a haul for and has been very good. Even Narvaez. I mean, those are four moves, arguably the team's best players. He put them all on the team.
Let's go!
So I mean, I kind of believe in those moves. Now, his trade deadline last year was horrific. And if he has another horrific trade deadline, maybe I'll feel different. But I don't know. Almost every move he made this season, short of Walker Buehler, but, you know, a high, high hit rate this offseason. It wasn't perfect. Even the Giolito signing from a year ago is starting to come around. I don't know. I just feel like he's been a way better GM than Bloom. That's a low bar. And I believe in him more than I believe in the manager. So I got to pick one. It's him.
Do you care about the Sportsology stuff at all? Like all the stuff about him cleaning house in the front office and scouts. You're an effing stiff.
I was unaware of this report until Curtis asked Breslow about it. I was unaware that they fired the scout that signed Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And so that one I don't love. But largely, if you're going to bring in Breslow, feel however you want about him, he should be allowed to fill it out with his guys and people, I think, who share a similar vision. Why would you keep holdovers from Chaim Bloom? Why would you keep holdovers from Dombrowski and Cherington? Like, why are all those guys? Breslow should bring in his own staff.
Well,
right?
I get that. There's a certain level to it that rubs me the wrong way when it's like an outside consulting firm. To me, that's just so Bain Capital, so, you know, Boston Consulting Group, just naming people that I used to date a long time ago that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, it feels impersonal. I bet it just gave Breslow cover it's not personal. We hired this consulting group and
like
they said you're out.
You got a guy kicking around for 20 years who actually helped back when the team won World Series. And you're like, well, the consultant who came in from the fancy firm, the Sportsology guy, says that you haven't kept up with the times, so you have to get out. There's a certain like impersonalness that I think just tracks with a lot of what people feel about Breslow, which is he's just typing everything into some kind of Oregon Trail like computer simulation for baseball and then turning and firing guys who have been there for 20 years.
Look, I don't want all yes men around Breslow. Like, I don't want that, but I don't think it's crazy for him to have his own guys. Like, I think you'd want that with most GMs. You would want that with most regimes. I mean, Mike Vrabel came in, it's all his own guys. So, like, I don't know.
Right, but the old guys were really, really bad.
Sure.
Like, there's some of these if you're talking about
how good have these guys been here under
Bloom?
You're
talking about somebody who signed Roman Anthony.
No, that's a
good signing.
That's a specific one that maybe I don't know that person deserves to lose their job.
But I would say that's maybe an example of, like, ooh, should everybody go? Should everybody go? Or maybe there's some people you could learn from here.
Yeah, that's fair. The Roman Anthony one, there's probably something you can learn from. The rest of them, it's been a horrible organization now for a while. So pretty much since Dombrowski went out the door, it's been horrible. I don't know why they need to keep Chaim Bloom's guys around. I don't know why they would need to do that. 617-779-7937. You can jump on board here. Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe. We got Celtics thoughts next hour. We'll get to Brad Marchand and the Bruins, a potential reunion. Plus, Don Sweeney. Actually seems like he might have done something right in the draft. Let's get to it next.
Hello there. What's your name, Jones?
Yes.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Making the selection for the Boston Bruins, we have a special guest, an award-winning comedian, actor, golfer, and lifelong Bruins fan.
My name is Patrick Gilmore.
2025 NHL draft. The Boston Bruins select from Boston College.
So that was Friday night. Bruins, number 7 pick, James Hagans, who some felt going into last year was arguably the top prospect in the upcoming draft, did not have the most productive year at BC. A little undersized, but he's a center, which is a big organizational need. You heard Sandler make the announcement there, Mego. You just off the air, you called it what?
Bizarre.
Bizarre? You don't like
weird?
You didn't like Happy Gilmore making the pick?
I loved it. I haven't seen. Is the new one out on Netflix, Happy Gilmore 2?
The trailer is out. Is the new Happy Gilmore out? They have it.
25th, I think, or the 24th, maybe?
Okay, good.
Inching up.
So that's not out yet. I love Happy Gilmore. I think probably top 3 sports movie. Extremely underrated, not just Sandler movie.
You ranked these. Where did it come out on your sports movies?
No, I did the list that you guys hated on.
That was Keith.
I did.
In fairness, that was Keith who really
hated
it. I
did football movies.
Oh, those
are
just football.
The thing that I learned most from putting that list together is we need better football movies.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of great football movies. Excellent baseball movies. Like baseball movies, great. Golf movies, great. We don't have a lot of great football movies because it's hard to do.
Got to work on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just too big of a haul, you know? Like it's just too big of a lift.
But that would be the number 3 or a top 3 sports movie for
yeah. me. I like dumb sports movies. The really serious sports movies, just I'm a little too cynical for, I think.
Billy, you're the Sandler guy. You like him making the, or you must be in on James Hagans, I'd imagine, after the draft pick.
You think that's enough to do it?
Yeah.
I don't watch that much hockey, but like the fact that they got Sandler was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you're not by proxy in on the prospect?
I wouldn't know him if I tripped over him. And that's nothing against him. He's really good at hockey to go top 10, but like I don't know.
I feel like you should be all in.
Maybe I will be.
Yeah, I think go get a jersey.
I like this chapter of Sandler going back to the Oscars when his thing was just yelling Chalamet
yeah.
at Timothy Chalamet.
And he's just a complete slob. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He's always been a slob, but now it looks like he might be an aging, drinking a lot more slob. And I feel like it's a good lane for him to go into. So I liked it. It was just not what I was expecting.
Maybe you can properly mic him up next time, NHL. Like, yeah. leave it to the NHL. You have Adam Sandler. He's in here making a draft pick. You can't even hear the guy on the broadcast, for God's sakes, hardly. But okay, I like that from the Bruins. I largely think the return sounds okay. Like, and the things that people are worried about with him don't bother me. Like, he's a little undersized. Fine. I would have liked him to be more of a shoot-first, less deferential player. Like, I think he went into...
Oh, that's how you're reading the assists from last year.
Yes. Well, I think he went in... He only had 11 goals,
you don't
right?
see it as ice vision?
No. I he had 11 goals last year at BC. He's a point-per-game guy as a freshman, which is not bad, but I think you wanted him to be a little bit more, you know, again, looking for his own offense. But maybe without players at BC, and I understand they're losing guys, maybe that'll happen naturally in year 2. So largely I like the pick. I like that they took a center. I like that he skews offensive. I like that or it doesn't bother me anyway that he's undersized. Like I'd way rather they bring in a skilled player than like a big 6'6 guy or a two-way guy. Like bring in an offense first guy, and if he's a little undersized, fine. I'll deal with that. That's the way of the NHL, the direction of the NHL. So largely, I like the pick. It feels weird complimenting Don Sweeney, but I think the returns seem pretty good.
Well, he's also 5'10". It's not like he's Tom Cruise on skates. Like, Sidney Crosby's 5'11". Like, he's undersized. Maybe that's not why he was the number one overall pick. If that's the only reason, then it feels like a steal at 7. So I like it, too. I don't know. Maybe we're being too overwhelmingly positive on it. But center has been something that's just been such a need for you for years at this point that I think it's the right move to go to.
And here's what I like about the draft largely. And again, I don't pretend to know anything about any of these guys. I'm just reading about the draft after the fact. It seemed like they got away from what they've done, which makes sense. They've drafted horribly Don Sweeney's whole tenure. So it makes sense they would try to pivot and do something different. So Sweeney had a bunch of comments after the draft, most of which I thought were kind of boilerplate standard Sweeney speak, which is fine. They brought up their director of amateur scouting, Ryan Nadeau, I think is how you say that, after day 2 of the draft, after the full draft. And he was asked about the direction and the pivot here on the Bruins going towards more high-end offensively skilled players. And here's what he had to say about this. I thought this was an interesting answer.
I think having more picks and having some higher picks allowed us to probably look at some players with a bit more offensive ability and upside that you know, sometimes in the areas where we tended to be picking, we didn't have some of those players available, or the players that were, there's a lot of risk associated sometimes with that player, whether they're undersized or whether they're physically underdeveloped or whether there's just a real major lack of detail in their game where there's other players sitting there at the same spot where you maybe really appreciate their attention to detail, their heaviness, their hardness.
Whoa.
So we didn't shy away from some of that. I just think ended up in a spot this year where we could really take some swings at some sort of higher upside offensive players that maybe in the past we haven't had as many swings on that style player.
Okay, so I don't like that he's blaming like their lack of picks and where they're picking. That's all just excuse
making. I like the
making.
Reports on these guys.
I didn't realize hardness was something we were looking for in these prospects. But I like that they're like, all right, I'm not worried about attention to detail. I'm not worried about defense. Let's go for some real high-end offensive skill. I don't like the scapegoating and the blame of we didn't have picks and we were too good and we traded away our first-round picks. No. Swing for some high offensive. You have no high-end offensive upside players because you've taken no chances. So take a chance. I like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. In the past, when we had better players and we were playing better actual hockey, it was too risky to get these offensively skilled players because they're deeper down in the draft. Now, look, because we traded away the good players and our team sucked, this is what you get now. So be happy with it.
Yeah.
Be happy with these picks.
I'm on board, to be honest, which I didn't expect to say. I think Don Sweeney did an actual good job at the draft this
weekend. Well, can he get them some better flights? Because they're not at development camp.
Yeah, you were telling me this. They're all delayed.
The top two. Well, the kid Higgins and the second rounder, they're not going to be there today.
Nice.
So, you know,
that probably goes above Sweeney's. That feels like a Jacobs issue to me, not a Sweeney issue.
Okay, well, somebody's got to get them on some better flights.
Yeah,
I was flying over the weekend. There were a lot of ground stops. Like, I understand some of that's out of your control, but you know that he's got to be there on Monday.
By the way, so I initially saw that, in the NFL, there's a big trade. Jalen Ramsey is being dealt to the Pittsburgh Steelers, to which I said, okay, I mean, that's noteworthy, I guess, but, you know, we'll get to it later on in the show. The return just came out. Did you see this?
No.
Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
So Minkah Fitzpatrick is going from the Steelers to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are getting Jalen Ramsey. It's a player-for-player trade.
That is unusual.
And that means that Minkah Fitzpatrick is back in the division, which is that where he's, did he start with the Dolphins? Yeah, thumbs up, right? That's where
they drafted him. He didn't sign an extension, so they traded him.
And now they're bringing him back.
Now, is this foreshadowing for Brad Marchand coming back to the Bruins?
Oh, great point.
Is this the universe foreshadowing something for us?
great Keefspiracy there, Mego.
Yeah.
And a great segue on top of it. We're going to discuss the latest rumors that Brad Marchand could return, a possible reunion, which I know Keith is rooting against, between the Bruins and Brad Marchand. We can react to the big trade in the NFL as well. 617-779-7937. We'll do all that next.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.